Don't we have great people doing announcements? Let's give them a hand. That was, yeah, pretty fun. You can learn lessons either by listening or living, right? You can have life experience, or you can just listen to the wisdom and go from there. I had to learn some hard lessons in my life. Anyone else learn some lessons the hard way? Yeah, that's been the story of a lot of my life. Years ago, I was running at a frantic pace. Kids were young, church was growing, staff and leaders were developing. I was doing my doctorate. I was running at a crazy pace. And one day I was late for an appointment. And as I'm in the car, partially I was late because I was meeting with somebody and I couldn't wrap up with them. You ever have, you know, that meeting where they just won't stop? You're like, hey, I got to go. And they're like, I know, just one more thing. And I didn't want to hurt their feelings, so I just kept saying yes. So then I'm running behind, and then I'm texting first, I'm going to run late. But then while I'm in the car, I'm thinking and I'm calling and I'm hoping when I call someone, a different person, not the person I'm going to meet with, I'm hoping I get their voicemail so I don't get caught into another convo, because I'm just trying to get everything done. I'm trying to multitask myself to death. And I show up to the meeting, and I'm frantic and I'm frazzled, and I show up and we meet there for 45 minutes and then we're done. But the truth is, I wasn't really there. You ever have one of those meetings where your mind's in another place and you're not really present? And the next day, this person who's my friend, brother in Christ, person at church calls up and says, Scott, I really needed to meet with you, but I didn't feel like I really met with you. I would rather not meet with you than only have you halfway there. And that just hit me like a ton of bricks, because I knew it was true. And I apologized. We set up another meeting. We met. He accepted my apology. But more than that, I began this journey in my life to say, I need to grow some margin. I need to not be living right next to my limits. Do you know what I'm talking about here, friends? Here's your limits, and you're like, I'm going to be right there or maybe even over it. And then suddenly you're frazzled and you're frantic and you're not really present. And the people you really care about are the ones who suffer. Today, we're going to start a sermon series on margin, not margarine, on margin. And we're going to talk about what margin is. We're going to talk about why it's so important. We've talked about this in our church a lot. The last time we went through this whole sermon series, though, was back in 2017. And, you know, I know we all stopped a couple years ago. We were forced to stop. And we learned lessons, right? We learned lessons about not resuming life at such a frantic pace. We've all learned those lessons, and we've all put them into practice. Right? Right? Yeah, it's okay. You're forgiven. God loves you. We're going to talk about having margin. We're going to talk about more than just shutdowns and being forced to stop, but actually having a pace of life that has rhythm to it. Let me ask you this question. Did anyone accomplish more than Jesus? If you're not saying no, then we might have to change the sermon and talk about what he accomplished by the time he was 33 or 34 years old. What he accomplished in 3 years. So I'm saying that intentionally for those of you like me who are efficiency, productivity people. I want to know I can get a lot done in a short amount of time. If you're wired like that, then you need to go back to Jesus, who never seemed to be in a hurry, who seemed to be interruptible, and yet accomplished more than you and I have ever done in our lives, and he did in 3 years. Okay? We're going to pray. We're going to start looking at Jesus. We're going to talk about margin together. Let's pray. Dear Lord, be with us as we go into your word. God, I know that so many of us struggle with this issue of margin. I know that in our world, being busy, being stressed, is actually seen as a sign of success. Lord, help us to go back to your word and your way. Help us to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Open up your Bible with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's on page 863 if you want to use one of the Bibles out here. Jesus is visiting Mary and Martha. They have a brother named Lazarus. They live in a town called Bethany. It's near Jerusalem. And Jesus, of course, would later raise Lazarus from the dead. We're going to start at verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted. Say that with me, distracted. by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." You can add whatever tone you want in there. That's the tone I'm adding in. But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, I got to say right from the beginning, Martha was working on important details. There's nothing wrong. She's making dinner. Hospitality was an expected thing, not only in our culture, but especially in ancient Middle Eastern culture. This was very important. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong about making a meal or working hard. But I don't know about you, but I was raised like, if you're working hard, then that means you're doing good. But what about that thing of, are you working hard on the right things in the right order? Do you know how to put first things first? I've seen people work hard, but they're working hard on the least important things. And they're missing what's most important in life. And that makes a big difference. And here's the result. What's the result? She's mad. She's mad not only at her sister, she's mad at Jesus. Did you catch that? Jesus, tell her to stop listening to you and get over here and make the meal. Like, Jesus, you should have said this already. Jesus, women aren't supposed to sit at your feet of a rabbi. And Jesus says, no. Right? Read verse 42 with me. I want you just to lock this into your brain. If you have a paper Bible, underline it. If you have a digital Bible, highlight it. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Some of you are reading with me. Keep going. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. There's only one first thing. Jesus and his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added. You got to put first things first. I don't know about you, but so often in our lives, we cram up our lives with more stuff and more things and all these things going on. And then we try to cram in Jesus. Jesus, can I wedge you into my busy life and my busy schedule? Can I try to shove Jesus in? And then we try to shove in our rest and our health. And then we try to shove in our family and our kids and our loved ones and our friends and our hobbies. And I know when we look at our schedules, like, I have to, Scott, there's nothing here I can't do, because we overcommit ourselves. We over-obligate ourselves. We look and we say, there's nothing I could cut. There is nothing that could be cut out of my life. Nothing. Just like Mary would say, everyone has to eat. Or Martha would say, everyone has to eat. You know, I think Mary had a strategy. Learn first and we'll all prepare second. I said this even to our hospitality team. Don't be so busy making the food that you miss the service. That's why we're here. We're here to worship Jesus. And then when we're done, we can all chip in together. Have you even found, even at church, you get so busy doing that you miss being with Jesus? I don't think that we're not supposed to serve. I do. But we can sometimes miss the first things first. Just more. There's a phrase, you probably know it. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. The devil can't make you bad. He'll make you busy. So, main point we're trying to get to today, you need to make margin in your life to protect your most important relationships. The more we do, the more leaves us empty. It gets so full. And again, we miss our most important relationships. There's a quote from a friend of mine that says, if you make yourself as busy as a bee, you may come home and find your honey gone. Okay? You got to pay attention to what's most important in your life. Let's talk about margin. This is a book by Richard Swenson, MD. It was a sermon series by Life Church, the church in Oklahoma. We've talked about it here a lot. It's important because, in general, our culture is stressed and anxious. It's important because we need to leave room for the unexpected. We need to have breathing room in our lives. I think many of us live like nothing's ever going to come up unexpected. I've used this analogy before, but how many of us would put a spare tire in our car if it wasn't just put there already by the manufacturer? We drive as if nothing is going to happen, right? But the car manufacturer knows things are going to happen. They put a spare in there. They put a jack in there. They know that things are going to happen. Do you have margin in your life? Let's talk about margin. Three main ways to understand margin. All of them are valid. All of them are important. Number one, margin is the space before your limits. Okay? I have some very bad drawings on here, but hopefully you'll work with me here, right? Margin is the space. Here's how much you can handle, and you don't do the thing in our culture where you go right up to that line or you go over that line, because I don't know if you know, in our culture, being busy means you're good. Being busy means you're good. Doesn't matter how productive you are. Being busy means you're good. Doesn't matter what your results are, just be busy, right? How many of you found, even at work, if you just walk in and go, oh, man, woo, people go, oh, they're important. They got a lot going on. They're busy. Why don't we cheer on the people who are like, man, you get a lot done, but you have rhythm in your life. You have peace in your life. That's what I want to be like. That's what Jesus was like. You realize in our culture, we have kind of an obsession with busyness, right? I was raised in an era of like, keep kid busy or else they'll be bad, right? And how do we balance those things out, okay? Margin is the space before your limits. You stop before you hit your limit. I want you just to hear that again. You stop before you hit your limit. You leave space. So if you have $100, you only spend 70. You leave space. You don't spend all of it. If you have 30 minutes and you need 20 minutes to get somewhere, you actually leave 10 minutes of margin. So you're not always showing up 5 minutes late and apologizing as you're walking in, right? You leave margin in your life. Does that sound like it would actually affect your mental health at all? Yeah? Just kind of leaving margin in your life. And when you don't have margin, you remember what happened to Martha? She's mad. She's irritated. She's upset and worried is what the New Living Translation says. Here's what I found. I found that people are obsessed with busyness, not just in our culture, but in our, like, I got to be doing something. I can't sit still. I can't sit still. Right? They always got to be moving. I'm not saying we should be lazy, but I'm saying there is a rhythm of cadence. There's Jesus. There's a life of Jesus that's like jazz. It's smooth, right? It's not like, right? It's like, yeah, man, it's cool, right? You live in that life. I've seen people feel guilt. I've talked to moms who go, if I sit for 5 minutes, I feel guilty. I mean, that's crazy, right? I've talked to many people, especially men who got, I have to achieve more. I have to accomplish more. I have to have kind of a trophy rack. Otherwise, I don't feel like I have any significance or worth. So like your significance and worth isn't defined amongst your faith and your loved ones. It's defined by what you accomplish. This is what's going on. This is why we keep driving. This is why we keep running out of margin. Number two is margin is a reserve tank. Now, this one, someone told me, looks like a birthday cake, but it's meant to be a reserve tank. All right. It's like a water tank that the space, this is what you have is at the bottom. This is the total you have to give. You need to be aware of what you have the ability to give. It might be more than you think, right? We also have like a little extra in us. But the idea is you stop and then you have reserve. In the Bible, Joseph knew there was a famine coming. And so he saved up food. Every time harvest came in, he said half is going to be saved and half is going to be eaten. So we have to kind of live on less now. Hear this, my brothers and sisters, in a marketing-driven, American materialistic, consumeristic world, you have to live on less now so you are ready for the future. You don't have to be a pessimist to be prepared, right? You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to say, I can have margin in my life. I can be aware. I know so many people are running, running, running. I have lived running, 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 and it's like, suddenly, my kids need me, and a disaster's happening, and it's like, okay, talk to me. Talk to me what you need. Let me schedule you in for your crisis at 5:30. When I get home, you got 35 minutes. Tell me what you need and we'll counsel this out. Is that how life works? No. No. And I bet if we went around this room, we will talk to people who had their life busy, 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 and then suddenly a real catastrophe happened in their life. And suddenly it's like, I know what's really important in my life. Suddenly clarity kicks in. Why do we have to wait for a crisis for that to happen? What if we could live with a reserve tank, an emotional reserve tank for your loved ones? What if you just said, no one's allowed to take from that reserve tank? Not my work, not other people. It's there for my loved ones. It's there for Jesus. It's there for myself. It's there as a reserve tank. It's there because I know things are going to happen. I know flat tires are going to happen. I know power is going to be turned off. I know things are going to happen. I know this. Do you have a reserve tank? The four things we're going to be covering is we talk about emotional. We're going to talk about scheduling overload. Anyone struggle with scheduling overload? We're going to talk about moral margin. Do you have a reserve tank of people in your life who hold you accountable, or are we trying to do our spiritual internal temptation life alone? Right? If you ever watch National Geographic, the predator's first tactic is to isolate the prey from the pack. That's what Satan does to us with temptation. We need to have moral margin. We need to have people in our lives who know what's going on the inside and can grow us and challenge us in that. It makes a huge difference. Okay? And then we're going to talk about financial margin. Do you actually have reserve finances? The amount of stress in our lives from finances is astronomical. And we just need to kind of say, God, you're trying to live us into a different way of doing things. That's number two. Margin's the reserve that you have in your tank in all of these four areas and beyond. Number three, margin is space protecting your priorities. So here's what I drew up on there as what's most important: faith, family and kids, health and rest. That's what I kind of was trying to symbolize there. Margin is like putting up a fence because the world's going to come in and try to ask for more from you. And it's going to say, you need to do more. You need to have more. I need this from you. You need to have this. You need to do this. Does this ever happen to pastors? If you were a good pastor, you would be available 24/7 instantly at the drop of the hat, because this is when I'm available and this is when you need to be available. I mean, sorry, therapy. So, right? Right? You need to actually build a wall around what's most important. Otherwise, the world has no problem eating it. Right? You have to be able to say, this is what's most important. In the mountains, they have this thing called defensible space, meaning you don't leave a whole bunch of pine cones around your house and pine needles, and you actually clear trees so that your home is sitting there and then there's defensible space before there's trees. Because if you're going to try to put out the fire when the tree's on fire, before it gets to your house, it's too close to your house. It doesn't matter. It's too late. Your house is going to burn. You need to have defensible space in your life. And you ever feel like the demands of life and the world are just coming in on the things that are most important to you? Jesus, your family and friends, your loved ones, and your health. You have to create defensible space, which is hard because it takes time to clear debris. It takes time to cut down trees. It takes time to do this. And every year, there's people in the mountains who don't do this. And every year, those are the homes that either burn down or they get lucky. And that's up to you. I can't make you do this. This is just wisdom from God, wisdom that people have figured out of, do you want to live this way or not? We can't make you, but I just want to ask you, do you have a reserve tank? Do you have space? Do you stop before your limits? And have you built some boundaries of protection around yourself? Because when you do it, it makes a huge difference. Margin is having extra time in your life. Man, when's the last time you said that? I have extra time. Margin is putting first things first. Margin is knowing you are loved by God and not needing anything or anyone else to prove that. Margin's having extra money left over. Margin's having emotional room in your life so that when people share with you, you actually have space and you don't unload on them because you're so busy that you don't have time to talk to them right now. Margin is leaving room before temptation, not going right up to the line of temptation. Leaving room before temptation so that you don't stumble into a life-destructive behavior. And margin is rooted in time with God, rhythm. Jesus had a rhythm. Jesus had a cadence. Learn from Jesus. You and I, brothers and sisters, we are followers of Jesus. That means when he stops, we stop. when he goes, you go, if he walks slow, you walk slow. Slowly for you English people. You'll get it. Okay? Psalm 46. This is a little thing I have in the green room. You're welcome to go into the green room unless somebody's meeting there. It's not private or anything like that. This is Psalm 46. And in the Bible, there are these things called Selah moments. It's where we pause. It's where we stop. It's where you reflect on what you just read. And we're going to do that right now. I talked to you about people I know. I had a friend who was struggling with margin, went to a spiritual director, and the director said, I want you to try to sit still for 5 minutes. He lasted about one. Be still. That's what Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Though the mountains quake, and we're going to read that and give you a chance to be still. So if you need to like get something out right now, if you need to, you know, just move around because you're just like, I can't sit still. Are you crazy? And then I'm going to give you some space to pray. Just think about margin in your life. You ready? You okay? All right, here we go. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. Selah. Stop and soak that in. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here. Among us, the God of Israel is our fortress. Selah. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world, causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Selah. right. How was that? How do you feel? What if every day you just took Psalm 46 and you just did that? What if on your lunch break? What if to end the day? 5 minutes in the 24 hours of a day, be still. I think God is inviting us to his table. And so often, we're trying to microwave our way through it. The more peace you have from him, the more you can give to others. It can make you work better. It can make you lead better. You can't give what you don't got. Go to him. We're going to keep praying. We like to do this a few times a year. We like to turn and pray for each other. And I want to ask you to pray kind of for three things. And if you want to keep praying on your own, do that. I want to encourage those of you who are watching online, find some time to pray right now. Pray for yourself and the things going on. You can share them with one or two people around you. You can turn your chairs if you need to. But I want to ask you to also pray for our church. We are on a mission to bless you, but also to be part of God's mission to bring other people in closer to him. I want to ask you to take upon yourself the personal challenge of, I need to go out and be praying for others. I need to go out and be inviting others. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Jesus wants us all to do it. So if you can add that to your prayer, we talked about what we call evangelism. If you can add that to your prayer for our church, that would be great. So we're going to do that for about 5 or 6 minutes. Find one or two people or pray on your own. If you want to know some ways to pray for our church, we have prayer cards around the sanctuary. There's going to be some talking here. So go ahead and move your chairs and let's pray together or again, continue praying on your own. All right, I'm going to pray for us. We're going to talk a little bit more about emotional margin. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Hear our prayers. Hear our need for more margin. And God, I pray that people will leave today ready to put it into action. God, help us to hear the things that you're trying to tell us. Be with us, Lord, through the rest of this service and even the rest of this sermon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I got a balloon here. I'm sure you know this is going to pop, so you can just be ready for that, or all you who are scared for that. Okay, so in life, here's the thing. When your margin increases, your joy increases. Do you agree with that? Yeah? The more margin you have in life, kind of the more happy you're going to be. When your margin decreases, your stress increases, your relational intimacy, your relational closeness with people goes down. Because what happens in life is, you know, you're doing okay. Like, hey, this is how life is. You're hanging in there. And then suddenly there's just a little bit more stress in your life, right? And things are just going a little bit differently and it's just a little bit much. And many of us are just living our lives like this, right? We're just living like, I'm happy. I'm okay. Things are fine. Things are great. Jesus loves me. I'm doing all good things. I'm working hard. Sound like Martha? And Jesus says, learn to sit at my feet. Learn to have a different pace, right? And you know what we do sometimes? We get upset at Jesus. You don't understand. You don't know what it's like to save the world. You don't know what it's like to have the weight of the world on your shoulders, right? And we're going and we're going and we're going. And it just takes one thing to just... And this is what I think many of us go through in life. And this is what our souls feel like. I want to give you three things for how to have emotional margin in your life. Okay? Number one, have boundaries. Boundaries mean saying no so that you can leave space before your limits. Leave emotional margin in your life. Don't give away everything emotionally to your work or to sports or to what you're watching or to activities or to all this stuff that crowds it away. Studies have actually shown that you do better when you have breaks and limits. If you're a leader, you're going to be more productive when you actually have peace from the inside because you have a rhythm of life. We think we got to do it all. You don't. Overworking does not lead to greater productiveness. Overworking does not, I'm not talking about laziness, but overworking does not lead to greater productiveness. Don't wait until you retire before you realize what's most important in life. Live that your whole life. Number two, have priorities. Literally write down what your priorities are. I want you to put them every time you look at your calendar, every time you're planning out your week, every time you're thinking about whether to say yes to someone, write down your priorities. Do you have enough time in your life for God? Not do you love God the most, but for many people, love is spelled T-I-M-E. Right? You're obviously here. Love that. Okay? I love that you're here. Love that you're watching online. You're making time for God. Don't feel guilt about that. You're doing good. But how do you keep making God first in your life? I'm not saying you got to read the Bible for 3 hours every day. But what is that rhythm you want? What about for your loved ones? Are they getting your best or your leftovers? Right? Give priorities. Live your priorities. And then your health and resting and playing. When's the last time you danced? There you go. Do you remember? I don't know if you know this. You can forget how to play. Learn how to play again. Do you think that God has grown old? God still plays. Don't forget how to play. Don't forget how to have that joy. And then the third thing is be loved. Understand that your identity comes first not in what you do, it's in who you are in Jesus. If you have kids, if you have grandkids, or if you're even around kids, you don't measure their worth by what they do. You want them to do well. You want them to do good. But I don't say to my kids, hey, you know, you failed that test. Next time you're out of the house. I don't say that. Like, their worth is in who they are. They're always loved. They're always welcome. But you know what? That's not what you say to yourself. What if you changed your voice and turned it into listening more to the voice of your Father and said, I can learn from that mistake, but it does not define who I am. If I succeed at work, if I get a promotion, that's great. Glory to God. But it doesn't make me better. How could I be worth any more than the price Jesus paid for me? I'm a loved child of God. I don't have to prove anything to anyone, including myself. That's a losing game unless you just rest in the love of the Father. So let me ask you this weird question. I hope you can work with this analogy. Do you know how to kind of cuddle with God? You know, like when you have kids or even a dog or a cat? You know that love of just resting? The Bible actually talks about that, that we're invited to rest in the bosom of the Father. That closeness with God of just, yeah. Like that, what we feel with our kids or grandkids or pets. Can you have that with God? That actually takes a lot of work and a lot of time. But live into that. Leave margin for that. It makes a difference. So go back to the story I told you. It was years ago that I was running at this frantic pace, but I had to make a change in my life. And I did. I did. And here's the big thing that changed for me. And I wanted to share this with you because I hope it will help you. I had to realize I was going to disappoint people. And I hate disappointing people. You may think, oh, you're so strong, you're so outspoken, but it's hard for me having hard conversations. It's hard for me when I know I've let people down. And I'd have people tell me, like I alluded to earlier, I just feel like you're not available as a pastor. I feel like you're not there. And I had to realize I had to be okay with that because I cannot be available for 200 people or back in the day, 400. I cannot be available for them and my 5 kids and my wife. I'm going to disappoint somebody, and I had to learn to be okay with that. And I had to make a choice, because it's not that I don't have meetings. I meet a lot through the week, about 15 to 20 hours a week I'm in meetings. And I have availability open for people. It's not that I don't have availability, and it's not that I'm not open. It might not be on their schedule. But I had to make a choice. Who am I going to disappoint? Because here's the thing. There are other pastors in town, and there are other pastors in church. You could go to another pastor, but my kids don't have another dad. And my wife doesn't have another husband. I had to make a choice to either say, am I going to disappoint them, or am I going to disappoint the people in my church? And I'm okay with that decision. It's not that I'm not working hard, and it's not that I'm not available, but I cannot be available at the drop of the hat because I am available at the drop of the hat for my kids. You understand what I'm saying? Right? I want to give you a little secret. The more you figure out margin, the more people are going to want from you because you're going to have something that they don't have. So you're going to need to learn how to have boundaries because the more you live into the peace of Jesus and the rhythm of Jesus, you're going to go, I want that. I want that. I need to meet with you. And sometimes the answer is, no, you need to meet with Jesus and be still. You need to get into a group. You need to get onto a team. You need to start carving out those things in your life. Whatever that is. You guys know what I'm saying, right? Okay, it's going to sound different for you. That's what I say as a pastor. Hey, we're going to close by hearing Psalm 46 read again. I recorded this years ago. We're going to head into communion. And I hope that this time together has prepared you for communion. And I hope, my prayer as we go through the series, is that you will do your life and your schedule different. I would love, as a family of faith, if we said, we got reserve tanks. We're putting Jesus first. We're serving. We're spending time with the Lord every day. We know how to be still. It's not going to make you less productive at work. It's going to make you more productive. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these lessons. Lord, help us to remember from Mary and Martha what's most important. Help us and be with us as we come to your table. We didn't earn it, but we receive it, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.